Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Option Round. My name is David, and I'll be your host. And on today's episode, we're just going to talk about the NFL draft. Honestly, there's not going to be any set topics. Usually, I have like a certain amount that I want to talk about or certain things I want to talk about. But honestly, in this one, it's just a kind of a free-for-all. I think I definitely want to touch on Mac Jones going to the Patriots. I think that's a huge one. Trey Lance going to the 49ers. You have Justin Fields going to the Chicago Bears. So many interesting decisions were happening. So many trade backs. So many deals that I have comments on. But honestly, when it comes down to it, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Again, I know that there's not as many of you out there as I would love, but I am starting to see some numbers on the podcast. So thank you so much for anyone that listens. And again, if you unfollow me on any platform that the podcast is available, you can go right to the website as well and follow, or you can go to Twitter, and I also post whenever I release a new podcast. But the first thing I just wanted to touch on is just the overall like draft itself and like the dynamics of Roger Goodell getting up there for the first round, mainly the first round, because I did watch the second round and third round, but after that, I couldn't do it anymore. There is a whole slew of amazing people on Twitter, on shows, everything that devote their like entire like lives and seasons to understanding the draft, doing months and months of work, giving grades. So I can see this whole debate recently about, are draft grades really worth it? Well, I mean, and are, do they really make sense? Are they needed? Are they content? Whatever it may be. No one can predict who's going to be what. No one can say for sure that Trey Lance is going to work out. No one can say for sure Mac Jones is going to work out. No one can say that even Trevor Lawrence is going to work out. I mean, look at Jamarcus Russell. Number one overall pick. Everyone thought he was going to be amazing. Dude just didn't even want to play football anymore. I'm not saying it's going to happen to Trevor Lawrence, but like you just never know. Like look at even Sam Bradford. He was good. He was good. Jared Goff, good. But I mean, nothing life-changing, nothing franchise-changing. I mean, look at Mitch Trubisky. I know he was a bit of a stretch by the Bears in that first attempt and that absolutely unreal ESPN video of when they're talking about Mitch Trubisky crippling a franchise for years to come. But no one can really tell, so don't get too upset about these draft grades, everyone. Please just let these people who have spent months doing work grade them based on this. There's been some great resources I've seen out there that aggregates all the grades together to give a kind of like a GPA. The Patriots did well on those, but does it really matter? No one knows. A steal in third round, and the next day, like, something happens. A steal in the fourth round, the next day he's no longer relevant. A steal in the first round, a season later he's off the team. I mean, people just, you can make guesses based on their tape, but you'll have no idea how they acclimate to not only just the NFL, but also the NFL lifestyle, how they'll acclimate to how people treat them, how they'll acclimate to the media, how they'll acclimate to newfound stardom, how they'll acclimate to the amount of money they make, the amount of money that other people make in comparison. For instance, a lot of people have a lot of struggle with the fact that these first-round picks make like $20 million and they get endorsement deals, all these things, and then someone in the seventh round it's only a few hundred thousand dollars, and in comparison to when you're seeing these guys, you're putting in the same amount of work as these guys, and it's very hard. Sometimes they get lifestyle creep, and for you and I, the everyday people, lifestyle creep is going to that extra brunch when we shouldn't have. It's grabbing that extra thing from the store that you shouldn't even attempt. It's grabbing that extra glass of wine. All those things are lifestyle creep that the normal people kind of struggle with, but this is another level. I mean, these players get to go to these unreal clubs and dinners and private jets, and I can only imagine what it's like going out with OBJ. Like, it must be absolutely insane, but then trying to keep up with him as the four-string receiver, it's not possible. It's just insane, so no one really knows. So take every grade with a grain of salt. I'm not going to give grades because I'm not that talented at knowing what the draft is all about. There's plenty of experts out there that claim they're experts and they're not that talented at knowing what the draft's all about. There's plenty of experts out there that no one listens to who actually are experts. Then you have the teams who are somewhere in between. That's right. The teams are somewhere in between. No. Just because a GM is in football doesn't mean they're good. Just because a GM has won a Super Bowl doesn't mean the pick's going to be good. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bust if they've had a tough couple of years. And one last thing before we get back into the original subject of what I wanted to talk about, and sorry for the rant, but it is absolutely insane to me that people don't account for draft position when they're taking into account of a good drafter. Yes, you can get steals. Yes, you can be good in the fundamentals. Yes, you can most of the time hit on your first round selections. But to not account for when teams have picked over the past 8 years is driving me absolutely insane. Yes, it's very hard for the Chiefs, for the Ravens, for the Patriots, for insert any team that's been good for a while to consistently hit in the back end of the first round. It is almost impossible. Look at the Titans. They're pretty good at drafting, honestly. Mike Vrabel's got a good thing going down there. Their first round pick fizzles out. He's off the team. He's out of the NFL. It's insane. It is very hard. I will also say, though, that the Titans also just drafted another person that had some off-the-field issues, so they might want to look into a new person for their background checks, or, you know, dive a little bit deeper. Maybe that person should answer their emails a few more times, send out a few more probing questions to these players. But besides that, it's incredibly hard. So if your team is picking over 20 every single year, don't get discouraged if they've whiffed a decent amount. It's going to happen. But what I do like to see teams do is just hit for players that they can actually go for. You know what I mean? Like, the hit for players that actually are needs and are actually good at that spot. Someone like the Raiders, not so traditionally well on terms of kind of picking for the spot. I'm sure some of these picks could have been there a bit later. Gruden's going off the handles. Now, that rant's done. Apologies. Let's talk about what the actual, like, the vibe of the draft in Cleveland. Did I like watching it? Did you guys like watching it? Did you enjoy it? Honestly, my opinions were it wasn't bad. It was a little weird, I'm not going to lie. It was much better. I watched it on NFL Network. I get with YouTube TV. So I didn't watch the ESPN version. So apologies if the ESPN version was a little bit different. But the NFL Network one was honestly pretty good. It was decent. It focused all on the players, which I really liked. Last year's ESPN NFL draft drove me absolutely bonkers. We were going off on side stories left and right. We were going about this person and just making me very sad watching the draft. I think they were going for motivational. I just felt terrible for some of these people and just wanted them to succeed with all means possible. So the NFL Network, honestly, was a pretty good production. It was pretty straightforward. The actual draft itself, though, I don't know how I felt about, like, the random fan in the chair. I mean, it'd probably be pretty cool, but it felt a little weird. Like, Roger Goodell, like, walk up to them and show them the pick and, like, laugh and then, like, have them awkwardly either sit in the chair still or, like, awkwardly stand behind him, but not in his camera view. You ever notice that? On all the camera views, they would shift it over to not get the person in the background unless they just stood too far over. That was a little weird. The draft rooms, I mean, not everyone was there, so the camera crew from the sides was not the greatest. They missed a few celebrations, which was pretty awkward, seeing like an empty draft room after they just got drafted like top 10. So ESPN and NFL Network like making people look a little rough when they, oh, well, maybe they didn't want to go to that team. Like, it's just ridiculous. And then showing the draft rooms, I thought was pretty cool, but also, again, a little bit misleading, right? Like, it's one of those things where it was cool to see. And when, like, the Lions got Sewell, like, they were going crazy. First of all, great pick, Lions. Loved your draft, honestly. Haven't seen that in a while, but loved your guys' draft. You guys did fantastic. And getting Sewell at 7 is unreal. Bengals, I'm not doing this. We can go over this in a little bit. But what I'm saying is not everyone was there. It was a little bit tough. And then seeing the actual draft rooms, it was interesting to see for sure. But I think it just put this kind of implication on the teams of like, well, did they actually like the pick? Like, I know, and I try to follow as many sports as I possibly can, as many teams as I possibly can. I am a Patriots fan, so I do follow a bit more of their beat writers and stuff like that. So I do have a bit more information on the Patriots. So in these podcasts, when I give a bit more info on the Pats, that's exactly why. But there are people saying that, like, Bill Belichick didn't like the pick. Did you see how he was asking asking the other people in the room if they were sure if this is their guy? Like, don't you think they'd be super happy? It's like, don't read into it. First of all, have you seen Bill Belichick in any capacity on any press conference? He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't show emotion ever. His dog had more emotion than him last year. His dog was the star of the show. His dog made the damn pick one time. It was... So, like, don't read too much into what their reaction... But I did love seeing the Lions draft room go absolutely wild when they got their guy. So it is really fun to see, but I think I would want to put the onus more on these networks to kind of see, like, what's going on in that room. And if that's the case, then don't show it. Like, do you know what the media and Twitter and memes and everything like that, like, happen? Like, if you're going to put... And the organizations, they can take it. They have a PR team. They can write whatever they want. Or, I mean, some of them just don't care at all. Like, Bill Belichick's not going to look at that ever again. But don't do that to the players. Like, don't make them make a statement on Twitter about why they didn't react. Well, they panned me after. Like... Don't do that to them. Like, and if you're going to be late, just don't show it. Or please tell me that someone is clicking record on the camera so that these players can actually just go back and see it. So just show the actual celebration. Don't put these players in a bad spot already. And that's kind of my thoughts on that draft. I think it was good. The chair was a little cringy. Roger Goodell got booed kind of like normal. There were some pretty hilarious presenters. Especially the ones that were like screaming about the Go Ravens thing, while he was with mainly Browns fans there. That was pretty funny. Otherwise, like, I liked the guests, like people coming on in the later rounds. That was super cool. Honestly, I would love to see a bit more of these high profile people come on in the first round. I think that the NFL draft, like, people really watch that first round to see, because that's really, like, the extent of my knowledge, right? Like, I knew some players going to the second round. Like, I love the New England Patriots selection of the defensive tackle. He's an absolute monster. I was looking to see where Joke went. I was looking to see a few of these players that I knew, but I wasn't, like, too invested in some of these other guys, which it was fun to learn about. But if you're going to make a show of something, make it the first round. And honestly, seeing Roger Goodell go out there for every single pick and putting commercials and waiting. The amount of waiting it took. The Jaguars took all 10 minutes. Are you kidding me? But, like, just make it a bit more exciting. Like, give the picks a bit more pizzazz, some flair. Like, show us a bit more. Hit us with some pyrotechnics. Hit us with anything else. Have these guest presenters come on in the first round. Like, give us something to watch. If you're going to make it a show, at least amp it up. That's what I'm going for. I'm on a rant there for the beginning of this, and I think that's honestly for the best and kind of what I wanted to do for this draft episode, because I'm not a draft expert. I'm not going to give you the ins and outs of every prospect. I'm not going to give you all these type of things. Honestly, a majority of my background and honestly what I just love to watch is the actual, like, football game in terms of, like, when it actually gets to the NFL. So breaking down plays, breaking down defenses, those type of things. I really love watching, like, who has the one-on-one coverage, what sort of defense they're showing, if they're showing man but playing zone, those type of things. I really enjoy, not as much on the actual breaking down, like, prospects and the players. So for this next topic that we talk about, which is the quarterbacks that are drafted, take two things into account. I'm not a draft expert, so I'm more just talking about what I've heard and also kind of what I've seen. And historically, I will mention kind of, like, historically what I like about the picks and what I don't in terms of, like, comparing them to other quarterbacks. And then two, honestly, just take into account, I'm a Patriots fan, and also take into account that we're all just fans. We really don't know exactly what we're doing. Some people definitely do. There's some people on Twitter, some people on ESPN. Some of the guys are legit scouts, or they've been in the NFL and they've kind of seen all these things. So you can kind of take their word a little bit stronger. But at the end of the day, like I said in my earlier rants, no one really knows what's kind of going on with all this. No one can actually guarantee to pick a good player every single draft. So take everything you hear with kind of a grain of salt. That being said, let's talk quarterbacks. First one off the board, Trevor Lawrence, surprising literally no one. I mean, solid pick. He has an amazing resume. I mean, people talked about a slight decline in his last year, but I didn't really see too much. He looks pretty solid. He looks like he's the dude who's going to build a great franchise around. And honestly, he's going to sell tickets. The Jaguars season ticket sales went through the roof when he got drafted. I mean, he has the face to be the head of a franchise and the hair to be the face of a franchise. he's selling tickets. He's signing deals with Gatorade, all these big companies, Under Armour, those type of companies. The dude just is going to make Jacksonville on the map for at least three seasons, whether he's good or bad. So I love the pick regardless. A new coach down there, I like it. I think he's going to be a solid quarterback. I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to the playoffs next year, but I think he's going to be an overall pretty solid quarterback. Next is Zach Wilson, and honestly, he's the one quarterback I don't know much about. I know he played for BYU. I know that he was made fun of on Twitter for looking a little bit young. I know that he seems pretty interesting, and his stats look pretty solid. I mean, he has all the intangibles to be a franchise quarterback. Obviously, someone at the Jets thought so, but they also thought Sam Darnold was. I guess we'll see. Apparently, the Carolina Panthers also think that Sam Darnold is that dude as well. So maybe the Jets just kind of bundled it. I like what the Jets did in the draft, though. I think it's an overall pretty good. Let's see if Zach Wilson pans out. If I had to wager at the current moment, again, remember, I am a Patriots fan. Please take this into account of this next one. If I had to bet, and usually around two of the five, maybe even three of the five, usually are somewhat of what we call a bust. If I had to wager at the current moment of who the two busts would be, I think he would be in it. Honestly, Mac Jones might be in there as well. But I think I would also shade on the side of another one that I'm going to talk about in a second. But he doesn't have that wow factor. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have the Trevor Lawrence, like, wow factor. He doesn't seem quite as markable as Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't seem quite as markable as Trey Lance. He doesn't seem have that wow factor in the legs as Trey Lance. He doesn't have that Justin Fields factor, which is just like everyone loves him, including me. Justin Fields, like, seems like he can sell out a stadium. So big up Chicago Bears. I'll talk about him in a second. He just doesn't do it for me. So the Big Apple signing him, I don't know. I'm not as sold on this pick. I could be very wrong, which is also unfortunate for me because he'd be in a division to completely slaughter me every year and year again. But hey, it's a young division now. I'm excited to see what happens. And honestly, he looks like a pretty good quarterback. So I think the Jets got their guy here. The third pick, which everyone was talking about, like they had insiders, they talked about it ad nauseum on Twitter, of everyone knows who they're going to pick. Apparently no one knew who they're going to pick because Kyle Shanahan didn't tell anyone, surprising literally no one. Everyone's talking about how they're going to take Mac Jones, we're going to take Justin Fields, or all this. They just took Trey Lance. Dude's an athletic monster. He can run, he can pass. I mean, my biggest concern with him is the experience level. He's only had one complete season. And honestly, I'm always a little bit nervous when you have running quarterbacks. And when I say running quarterbacks, I mean run first quarterbacks. So someone like Josh Allen's a perfect example of, he is a pass first who then has an amazing ability to run. Lamar Jackson is ridiculously special, so don't compare him to other ones. And then people like Patrick Mahomes, who are pass first, and then they have the ability to scramble. Someone like Aaron Rodgers when he was a little bit younger. Not people, obviously, like Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, those guys kind of stay in the pocket. But Trey Lance is a run-ish first type of dude. He's gonna make the plays. I think he had like over 1,000 yards rushing. So he's going to look to run kind of a bit like Lamar Jackson. But he's an athletic monster. I think if he has a year or two to watch under Jimmy Garoppolo and learn Kyle Shanahan's office from that manner, I think that they got an absolute great dude. And if he gets the whole year or even two to actually sit and wait before he can go up, that'd be phenomenal. At the same time, though, I know that 49ers fans are not going to be content with just him sitting there. A lot of them are. A lot of them are very reasonable fans. But there's going to be a lot of people, especially the media, because the talking heads need something to talk about, are going to say, well, when is he coming yet? When is he coming off the bench? Every time Jimmy Garoppolo throws one interception. So I think he's going to work out if he gets the time that he needs to process the game, because he is a bit inexperienced in that sense. So if he has a year or so under the offense, under Jimmy G, I think he's going to work out really well. If he gets tossed into a situation because, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's entire body is made of glass, so there's a chance he gets thrown out there a bit too early, which then I think it might be a little bit tougher for him. I'm not saying it's still not going to work out, but I think if he doesn't get all the time he might need, it might be a little bit tougher. Teams might see some of his tricks early on, might start to confuse him a little bit. I'm not entirely sure, but just off of like gut reaction, I think he needs a little bit more time to process. And honestly, he's in a great position to do so. So that's awesome for him and super happy for him. I think it's going to be great. After Trey Lance went with the third pick, we patiently waited for the other quarterbacks to go off the board, which were Mac Jones and Justin Fields. And honestly, a lot of people thought the Patriots or the Lions or someone was going to trade up and go get Fields or Mac Jones. And fourth, fifth, sixth pick go by, nothing. All the usual suspects go, but honestly, nothing really too crazy. Sewell went till 7, which was pretty nuts, honestly. The Lions front office, like I mentioned before, was going absolutely crazy, but we kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing happened. Then finally, the Chicago Bears made a move with the Giants, trading 2 first-round picks and a few extras to trade up and get their, hopefully, franchise quarterback in Justin Fields, which I was super jealous about, honestly. Chicago looks like they got someone just flashy. They got everything that, honestly, Tom Brady wasn't, and I was super excited to see it happen. He just had that flair. He was quick. He made great decisions, had an amazing arm, was fast, made quick reads, make great reads. He could run. He could pass. He was, honestly, the whole package. I thought he's one of the best quarterbacks in the draft, honestly. I think I had him in my internal, which means absolutely nothing, internal rankings. I had Fields number 2, and that was mainly just because of his numbers. He just was consistently there. He looked like a leader. A lot of the interviews I was looking at, he just like looked very solid. He looked like he knew what he was talking about. Just a stand-up dude, and honestly, the way he plays football was super exciting. I think he's going to sell a lot of tickets in Chicago when he actually gets the nod. Poor Andy Dalton, honestly, I mean, there's no really way to say that. He was QB1 for about, a month? So that's tough for him. But, I mean, I think they got their quarterback of the future. I don't think that he's going to fizzle out like Mitch Trubisky, but there's always a possibility. And no offense to Mitch Trubisky at all. I mean, like I mentioned before, also, that's absolute unreal ESPN article, ESPN video. But my only real worries with someone like Justin Fields is honestly the same worries I have in a young quarterback that's kind of a bit run, a little bit inaccurate, maybe some of the easier systems in college, just how it translates to afterwards. But I don't think that Justin Fields is going to have any issues with that. But if I had to point out some cons, it'd be that. And honestly, anyone that is a little bit run, I get a little bit nervous with the injuries, seeing like people like Dak Prescott, even Patrick Mahomes getting injured. You got Jimmy Garoppolo, who took the worst hit I've ever seen, 7 years ago. It just keeps going on. Carson Wentz, anyone that kind of runs a little bit. Josh Allen got sent in next week by Jamie Collins. Anyone who runs, it just gets a little bit nervous. I mean, Lamar Jackson is literally a unicorn. I mean, so don't compare anyone to him, but it just gets you a little bit nervous. And then when they lose their legs, they're the same quarterback they once were. In some cases they are, in a lot of cases they aren't. So interesting to see, but I think he's an amazing pick by the Chicago Bears. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks in this draft. The last quarterback that we have to talk about today is the Patriots quarterback. They took him at 15, which was, for value alone, is phenomenal, because they didn't have to trade anything else to get this quarterback, which everyone thought was going to go top 5. So I don't know if Bill really outthought everyone, if everyone wasn't as high on Mac Jones as everyone else thought they were, if there's really no quarterback teams left in the mix, like the Broncos, I guess they're going with Locke. They're going with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, that's not really a solution. People are linking them to Aaron Rodgers. I was shocked they didn't take Lance. I was shocked they didn't take Fields. The Lions, I guess they're rolling with Jared Goff, which, I mean, he went to a Super Bowl, so there's worse people to roll with. And the only other teams that I thought would maybe make the move were Chicago Bears, and they made the move. And there's some teams back deep, like the Saints, something like that, which I didn't think they liked anyone like that. But hey, the Patriots, they waited it out, and they got supposedly their guy. I'm not sure. No one actually knows, honestly, besides Bill Belichick on the inside. People are reading into it, like I said, mentioned earlier in the podcast, of his reactions, which is just dumb. But besides that, though, honestly, I like a lot of things about Mac Jones. He's a really complete pocket passer, so he's like a Tom Brady light. He's athletic enough to make the runs when needed, but he's always a pass-first kind of guy, which is exciting for me. in the sense of the lack of injuries he'll probably have. Honestly, the Patriots' offensive line is built like a brick house, and they have two amazing tight ends, a great running game, and some decent receivers. I use the word decent loosely. I mean, Aguilar has some upside, and Bourne is promising, and Jacoby Myers is interesting, so decent is a decent word for that. They have the pass catchers are really the tight ends with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, but he has all the makings to be have a great rookie season if he does beat out Cam Newton in training camp. He's got the line, he's got the offense, he's got the defense. Their defense is looking ridiculous with their other draft picks, but he's got everything he needs for a young quarterback. Same thing with Trey Lance and the 49ers. They have the defense, they have the offense. So honestly, for those two dudes, it's just exciting that they get to go to a complete package. It's incredible. It's very unlikely that in the top 15 picks you go to a team that's just built to win now. And those two dudes got to go to teams like that. And they also have long-term starters who can fill in for them in the early on, so they're not just thrown out there. Like Trevor Lawrence is going to be thrown out there. So it's one of those things where they really are in the best situation to succeed. Things I don't like about Mac Jones, I mean, it's got to be his lack of athletic ability in that sense, but he's also very athletic. I think it's one of those things where he's just not as flashy as a Trey Lance or Justin Fields with their actual running ability, which is totally okay. Same with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they all just have this running aspect to them. Mac Jones, a pocket passer through and through. People are a little bit worried about, well, he's only played with the star players. I mean, so? I mean, I don't really see that as a downside. And people are saying, well, not many Alabama quarterbacks have succeeded in the NFL. I mean, Jalen Hurts looks good, and I know he moved, but he looks good so far, and the Eagles seem to be rolling with him. No one from Ohio State has really done much either, so is that a reason to be worried about Justin Fields? I don't think so. I think their prospects are individually different, and Mac Jones, what, threw close to 78% completion percentage. He had like 4,000 yards, a billion touchdowns. I don't really take any of the top five teams for touchdowns because when they play like Appalachian State or something like that and they absolutely ruin them by 80, it's not something that's too impressive. And also you have like Tua in the same division and he looks like he's going to have a decent second year. So I don't think we have to read into where the quarterbacks came from. And also he learned from Nick Saban, who Bill Belichick loves and respects more than, I think he's the only one that Bill Belichick respects more than other people respect Bill Belichick's opinion. Nick Saban's like the football whisperer. I think he knows like essentially everything, as you can see by him constantly making the Alabama team unreal. And I think everyone wants to play for him because of this. So, and obviously, I think, what was it, 8 picks in the first round or something like that for Alabama, which is just ridiculous. So, all in all, that being said, the only other comments I have about Mac Jones is maybe next time. The fit was interesting. I don't love it. I think someone like Devontae Smith had an absolute unreal outfit. I think that Mac Jones, it was not the best. So, Mac Jones, if you ever do listen to this, please get a different tailor, get a different stylist. I understand what you're going for, but it didn't hit the bill. And then honestly, when you're walking somewhere that you're excited to go, try not to look as ridiculous when you're doing it. I don't know what else to say, but you just looked a little bit absurd and now you're a walking meme, so that's always good for you. Some great PR, and bad PR is never the worst. Memes, they'll get your name out there. I'm sure you gained a lot of followers because you walked kind of funny, so that's always positive, but overall, super excited to see you in a Patriots uniform. I think all five of the top five picks for quarterbacks are going to do great. I'm not super concerned about any one of them. And honestly, I'm interested to see how it all shakes out. So this has been today's episode, guys. Let me know what else you want to hear in the future. And give us a follow on all social media and all of the links that you're listening on. And other than that, see you guys next week.